Thanks for listening to messages here at First Baptist Church Monticello. We are a multi-generational church in the panhandle of Florida that is committed to worshiping our great God, growing closer to Jesus Christ, serving God by serving others, and sharing the good news about Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Be sure to like us on Facebook and listen to our messages anytime on our website, fbcmonticello.org. Thanks for being part of our FBC family, and enjoy the message.
This is such a great time of year that we think about experiencing Christmas, and I was thinking back over some of the Christmases that I had that really stand out in my mind, and I grew up in Central Florida, and there was one Christmas that was particularly warm, and I got a hydro slide that Christmas, and so we were able to ski some hydro slides, like a kneeboard kind of thing, and we were able to get out on the lake and ski some that Christmas day, and that just seemed like a surreal kind of thing, skiing on Christmas day. And then I remember our first Christmas with our firstborn Amanda, and what that was like, and how that transformed our Christmas morning. And then we had five children in 7 years, and so every year it seemed like we were adding more children to that celebration, and it was so precious. And then it turned into assembling all of these things, you know, the night before, and just such fond Christmas memories. I remember when my daughter Brooke got a trampoline. We were living in South Carolina, and I was putting that trampoline together on Christmas Eve, and it was snowing outside. And for a Florida boy like me, that was a unique situation. And it was enjoyable. There's so many things that we experience at Christmas, and if you were to think about all of your Christmases, there would be many that you would think, what an amazing experience that was. And that was something you kind of hold on to. And of all the things that we experience at Christmas time, wouldn't it be great if we could experience God this Christmas? That we would lean into what He would say to us, what He would do in our life. And we started something last week of experiencing God this Christmas. And what we're doing is we're taking the seven realities of experiencing God and we're putting it together with experiencing Christmas. And so we're looking to experience God this Christmas. And we started out last week talking about the first reality of experiencing God is that God is always at work around you. And we looked at that even though He's silent sometimes, or we should say He seems silent sometimes, He's still working, just like that intertestamental time that we talked about last week. 400 years between the Old Testament and the New, and it seemed like God was quiet, but He was setting the stage. He was putting all the pieces together in place for the birth of His Son. And then last week, we also talked about how God pursues a love relationship with us that is real and personal. He pursues a continuing love relationship with us that is real and personal. That's what Christmas is all about, that God, through His Son Jesus, took away the barrier between us and Him of our sin when He sent His Son at Christmas time. And so those were the first two realities of experiencing God. And this morning, we're going to talk about number three and four of experiencing God, and we're going to, again, look at how that relates to the Christmas story. And we're going to see how we can experience God this Christmas. So if you have your Bible, open it up to Luke chapter 1. And if you don't have your Bible with you, then you can look there on the worship Bible in front of you. And it is on page number 878 there in the worship Bible in front of you. And if you're a guest with us and you don't have a Bible at home, please feel free to take one of the worship Bibles with you and count that as our gift to you. So Luke chapter 1, verse 26, it's page number 878 in your worship Bible. And if you found your place there in that worship Bible or on your device, I'd ask you to stand in the honor of the reading of God's Word. So Luke chapter 1, verse 26. This is right in the heart of the Christmas story, the heart of the Christmas story here in Luke. Verse 26 says, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "Now this will be, how will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." Isn't that true? No word from God will ever fail. Verse 38, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. I mean, that is the Christmas story. And in that, we're going to see some of the realities of experiencing God. And in seeing those realities of experiencing God, we're going to be challenged to experience God ourselves and to lean into what God would have for us. So let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for these moments that we have around your word. We thank you for this Christmas time where we celebrate what you did in the life of Mary and Joseph and Jesus coming into this world. And Father, would you help us experience you this Christmas? And Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. We thank you in Jesus' name, amen. So on your message notes, it starts with number 3, and that's not a typo. The reason it starts with number 3 is we're on the third reality of experiencing God. We covered the last two last week. And if you look on the back of your message notes, all 7 realities of experiencing God are listed there, and I would encourage you to read there and know the direction that we're going. So number 3 is that God invites you to become involved with him in his work. So it starts off with God is always at work around you. God pursues a continuing love relationship with you that is real and personal. And now God is inviting you to become involved with him in his work. That God's not only pursuing a love relationship with you, a continuing love relationship with you that is real and personal, he is inviting you to become involved in what he's doing, to become involved with him in his work. And there are examples about this all through the scripture. And one of them is this passage of scripture that we just read. Mary is going about her own business, and she's preparing for her wedding day. And she's getting all of those things together, and she's pledged to be married to this man, Joseph. And all of a sudden, God invites her into this huge story of redemption when she becomes the earthly mother of Jesus. I mean, what a shock that was. And even in this passage, she wondered, she was troubled, what kind of greeting this might be. What is going on? And the angel Gabriel, the messenger from God, is saying, this is what's going to happen. You're going to conceive by the Holy Spirit. You're going to give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. And so God was inviting Mary into his story, his redemptive story. And you know what? It's really amazing when you think about what he did in Mary's life, because Mary was a godly young woman, and she was favored by God, meaning that she was favored by God, that she lived a life that honored God. She's highly favored by God. And yet, God was going to include her. She had a good story going on. This romance with Joseph, going to be married, and they were going to have a family, and they were going to have 2.3 kids like some of us do, and it was going to be just this amazing life story in life. And God transforms that into the story about Mary and Joseph into his redemptive forever story. And he invited Mary into it. He did the same thing with Joseph. If you turn back a few pages to Matthew chapter 1, Matthew gives us the story of Joseph. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. And this is where Joseph accepts Jesus as his son. Listen to this. It's on page 827 in your worship Bible there. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. In this day, to be promised was already a serious commitment. And so he was going to separate from her quietly, preserving her, because he was broken. His fiancée was found to be pregnant. And then in verse 20 it says, but after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. And this is another example of God inviting Joseph into his story and into his work to become involved in him, with him in his work. He was inviting Joseph to exchange the story of Mary and Joseph, to exchange that for God's redemptive story of Jesus. And what a great exchange that was. Can you imagine that? A young man, and I remember what it was like when I was preparing to be married. My wife Carol and I dated about 5.5 years, and then we were engaged, and I was feeling the weight of getting married, that I was going to be providing for my family. We were going to start our family. Just the weight of that transferring from the school years to college years to having a family. Just, I felt the weight of that. And I know that's what Joseph was thinking as well. He was going to have a wife and soon would have kids. He'd have to provide for them. He would have to take care of them. He was going to be the dad. He was going to be the husband. And there's a certain weight of that. And all of that gets turned upside down when Mary is found to be pregnant. And so he's an honorable man and he loves Mary, but he's devastated that she's pregnant. So he's going to separate from her quietly, not to disgrace her, because he loves her desperately. But just like with Mary, an angel shows up and says, Joseph, don't be concerned about taking Mary as your wife, because like she has told you, it could say, what's conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And this is something that God is doing. This is not something that was sinful, but this is something that God is doing, and that Jesus is going to come, and he's going to save his people from their sin. He invited Mary and Joseph to leave the story of Mary and Joseph and their family there in Nazareth, to being part of being the earthly parents of Jesus, the Messiah. What an amazing invitation that was. There's also stories in the Old Testament. Abraham was going to be the father of a great nation, and he accepted that. And Moses was going to deliver the people of God from the Egyptian slave masters. Noah was going to build the ark, and God invites him into his redemptive history to save his family from the flood when he builds a boat in the middle of the desert. Joshua was going to pick up the mantle of leadership from Moses when he dies and lead the people into the promised land where God has delivered him. These are examples of God inviting those characters that we are so familiar with from the scripture into to be involved with him, to be a part of his work. And then you go to the New Testament, and early in the New Testament, after Jesus is born and he begins his ministry, he begins calling the disciples, and he calls them and says, come follow me. That was their invitation to be involved with Jesus and his work. And then that continues on through the New Testament into the book of Acts, where the church is formed, and the church is the redemptive body of believers, of the children of God that are progressing with the kingdom. So the church is there. And then every believer, God is at work in our lives. And he's pursuing that love relationship with us. And he is inviting us to be involved with him and to join him in his work. Now listen, let's step back for a second and just see the big view of this. The first two words of number three is that God invites. And isn't that an amazing thing? That God would love us so much that he would provide Jesus so that we could be forgiven of our sin and we could be sons and daughters of God. But that's not where he stops. He invites us into his story that is so much bigger than our story, so that we can be a part of what God is doing, so that we can be involved with him. Listen, that's the place of excitement. That's the place where we need to be as God invites us to be involved with him and his work. We need to say yes. We need to say, I want to sign up for that. I want to be a part of what God is doing. And I want to go beyond the story of just me. And I want to be a part and take my role in the story of Jesus and what he's doing on this planet. It's amazing that God invites us to be involved with him. Now, this is what we normally do. We normally say, God, these are my plans. I'm going to marry this person, I'm going to do these things, and I'm going to have these children, and I'm going to do this, and I want you to bless it. This is my plan, God, and I want you to bless it. And then sometimes here in church, I mean, a moment of transparency and honesty, sometimes we do the same thing. God, this is what we as a church are about to do, and we want you to bless it. I mean, we're your church after all. And this is really important, and our reputation is on the line. So God, we need you to show up, and we need you to bless. But what we don't do is we don't say, God, what are you doing, and how do we get involved with you in what you're doing? See, that's a paradigm change. That's a model change for us to go beyond what we want to do, and God bless my plan, to us saying, God, what are you doing, and how can I join you in what you're doing? Listen, that's a big deal. Because instead of saying, God, bless my plan, you say to God, God, I want to take my place in your plan. See, Mary and Joseph didn't say, we're going to have a baby, and God, we want you to bless him, and we want you to use him in a great way. God said, this is the plan, and you're invited to be involved in it. And so, listen, I want to challenge myself to go beyond what we normally do of saying, God, this is the plan, bless it, please, to saying, God, what are you doing, and how can I take my place in that? So God's invitation, there are some characteristics to God's invitation that we can see in Mary and Joseph's story, and we can see in all the Old Testament and New Testament ones that we just mentioned. God's invitation is personal. It's individual to each one of us. It's individual to our church. It's very personal in nature. It's also specific. God doesn't deal in generalities. He has specific things for us to do in a specific context. It also is an adventure. And an adventure sometimes can be on the side of being a little scary. But it's an adventure that requires the power of God working in our life for it to be accomplished. That's what it's like to join God in what he's doing. That he's doing something through us and in us that we cannot do ourselves. Don't you want to be in a place personally and with your family that God is doing something in your midst that's beyond what you can do for yourself? I mean, that's the place to be. And it also requires faith and action, and we're going to look at that next week. And it also advances his kingdom and brings him glory. And it's not about us. It becomes not being about us. It becomes about being about him. It's not about our story. It's about us taking our role in his story. And I think y'all are seeing that in this passage. So God invites us to become involved with him and his work. It's personal, specific. It's an adventure. It requires faith and action, and it advances the kingdom of God. So that's number three. Listen, number three is life-changing. If you grab on to number three, that God is inviting us to become part of his life, part of involved with him and what he's doing. That is a game changer. But number four, and this is reality number four, is an amazing reality packed with life-changing truth that we're going to break down into some phrases. But number four here on your message notes is that God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church to reveal himself, his purposes, and his ways. Now, that's a lot of blanks. If you're following along, and I hope you are in filling out the blanks, he speaks by the Holy Spirit. And the way that he speaks is through the Bible, through prayer, through circumstances, and through the church. And this is what he is revealing. And it's right here on the screen. He is revealing himself, who he is, what he's like, how he relates to you. He's revealing himself to us as the Holy Spirit speaks to us. He's also revealing his purposes. What is it that he wants? What is on his heart? What is that he wants to do? And by the way, our purpose statement, our vision statement, is to worship, grow, serve, and share. Those are the purposes we believe that God has given us to do. And he also reveals, the last blank, his ways. This is his plan. And this is an amazing reality, number four, packed with life-changing truth. Let's start with this phrase, through the Holy Spirit. Listen to John 16, verse 13 and 14, and it will be here on the screen. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, Jesus is saying this, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. This is the mystery of the Trinity, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, and he is the Spirit of truth, and he is the one that's going to reveal to us what Jesus is doing, and he's going to reveal to us the Word of God. And so if we back up for a second and say just God speaks to us, he not only invites us into what he's doing, he's also speaking to us, and he does that through the power of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us so that we know what to do. You see, if you hold on to that number three, that God is inviting us to be involved with him and to join him in what he's doing, involved with him and his work, then the next question is, well, God, what are you doing? And how can I get involved? And that's where number four comes in, that God is speaking to us, that he cares about us so much, that he's guiding us and he's speaking to us through the Holy Spirit. And he does that in some specific ways. The best way that God speaks to us is through his word. God has revealed himself to us through the word of God. And in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, it says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And listen to verse 17, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the word of God is our guide. It is molding us into the people that God wants us to be, and it is showing us, it is equipping us for every good work as we join God in what he's doing. What an amazing thing the word of God is. And so the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, and he's speaking to us through the word of God. I'm so thankful for the scripture and what it means in our life. When I was up in with the youth during our Sunday morning Bible study, and we were looking at Psalm 19, and we were answering the question, is there a God? And Psalm 119, Psalm 19. And Psalm 19 starts off with the heavens declare the glory of God. And when we were up there, we were discussing how God has revealed himself through creation. And then the second part of Psalm 19 is that the word of God reveals who God is and his will for us. And the two together are this 1-2 punch that is just powerful. That the Bible shows us who God is, how he works, what his character is like, and how we can join him in what he's doing. What an amazing God that we serve. And then my son, who's up in that class, he says, I recognize the end of this passage, Psalm 19, because that's what I pray every Sunday morning, is may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And so the application of God declaring himself through creation and him revealing himself through creation, revealing himself through scripture, is God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and the activity of my life, may they honor you. May they bring glory to you. And so the scripture is one of the ways that God reveals himself to us. And so this Christmas time, I would encourage you to be getting into the Word of God. The Christmas story is not hard to find in the beginning of the gospel narratives. You can also go back and look at some of the Old Testament prophecies in Isaiah and other places about Jesus. This is a time of year that we shouldn't have our Bibles on the shelf getting dusty. These are the time of year that we can use the power of the Word of God in our life so that we can hear what he's saying. Now listen, God is speaking to us through these ways, but some of us are not hearing because we're not listening. And with the Word of God, that means we're not reading. Our Bibles are sitting rather than being read. And we live in a time where the Word of God is accessible to us in ways that we would have never thought in past years. I mean, on our phones that we carry in our pockets, you can have the Word of God. You can have all types of translations and bindings, small Bibles and big Bibles. There's just Bibles everywhere, yet it's a book that is widely neglected. And so this Holy Spirit is speaking to us through the Bible. He's also speaking to us through prayer. And prayer is a relationship between us and God. It's not just a religious activity. It's communication between us and God. And so when we pray to God, it should be more than just, God, here's my list of things I want you to do. It should be more of communication, us talking to God and allowing God to speak to our hearts. It was Jesus that showed us how to pray, and you can see this relationship with the Father when he says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So we're praising God. Your kingdom come, your will be done. That's our invitation to join him in advancing his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. That's a request for God to meet our needs. And listen, we have needs that need to be met, and we can go to our Heavenly Father. And there's also that confession, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Father, forgive me for the things that I've done wrong as I forgive people that have sinned against me. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And that's an example of prayer being this relationship and this dialogue. It's not like just your Christmas list and getting that out there. It's not just what you want him to do. That's very similar to what we do sometimes. Sometimes we open up this line of communication and we just give God our list and the things that are on our heart, and then we close off communication and we move on to the next thing. That's similar to us saying, God, this is what I'm about to do. We'd like you to bless it. These are my plans. Now God bless them, because I don't want to be embarrassed, and this is important stuff, rather than us saying, God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. How do I join you? How do I get involved in that? And you only find that out through this dialogue, through this communication with God. So God's speaking to us through the Bible and also through prayer. There is also another way that this reality mentions that God speaks to us through our circumstances. And sometimes he speaks loudest to us through our negative circumstances. When we go through a loss, or we go through a difficulty, or we go through a transition, things used to be one way and now they're going to be another way. And it's in that the scripture clearly teaches us that God is at work in our circumstance. And sometimes when we go through negative circumstances, we think, where is God in this? But God is there and God is leading. And in Matthew 28, when God gives out the Great Commission, there is this phrase in here that says, I'm at work. In Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, it says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And listen to this last phrase, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And what this passage of scripture says to us is as God has given us our marching orders in the Great Commission, he says, look, I'm with you. The scripture says he never leaves us or forsakes us. And so what God can do, if we will allow him to, is he will speak to us through our circumstances, and he will redeem even the negative circumstances in our life into something that's for our good and for God's glory. Now listen, that takes faith, and that takes action, and it takes leaning in to what he would be doing in a situation and going away from our plan and going to getting on his plan, circumstances. God leads us through our circumstances. Another way he leads us is through the church. The church is this amazing organization of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ that are committed to his purposes, his ways, that meet together to grow the church. And there's a passage of scripture in Ephesians chapter 4 that talks about the church and the different pieces of the church. And so I want you to think about your role in the church and the importance of the church in how God speaks to us individually. Listen to this. It says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every kind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful schemes. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does his work. What a beautiful passage of scripture about how the body of Christ is held together and Jesus is the head. And as we take our place in the church with Jesus as the head, then we are becoming mature in our faith and we're able to fulfill the purposes and plan of God. That's why being a Lone Ranger Christian and not needing church is wrong. There are people that many of you know that are have had a bad church experience of some way, and they're just going to worship God on their own, and they're just going to do their own thing. And in some ways, that makes sense, but it's terrible theology. It's terrible. There's nowhere that's found in the Scripture. In the Scripture, we come together as a body of believers and we're held together with each part doing its work as we pursue what God would have us to do. And so for the challenge is us for a church is to say, God, where are you working here in Monticello, Florida? And how can we join you in what you are doing in this place? And we will say yes to you. We are going to listen as you speak to us through the word, as you speak to us as we pray, as you speak to us through the circumstances that come around us, and we're going to be together and we're going to make these decisions as a church. It's really an amazing thing that God is speaking to us. But let's talk briefly about what he is speaking to us and what he's revealing. Listen, he's revealing himself. He is revealing who he is as he speaks to us. And listen, we need that. We need more of God in our life, not less. We need to know who he is better than we do right now. We need to grow in our understanding of the holiness and righteousness of God and how he loves us and his loving mercy in our life. We need more and more of that in our life. We need to lean into understanding he reveals himself. And how would your Christmas be this year? How would you experience God this Christmas if God revealed himself to you? Listen, that's really what we need. We'll get gifts. And I'm not saying we shouldn't give and receive gifts, because we give and receive gifts based on the gift that God gave us in Jesus. I mean, he is the primary gift giver. But what we really need beyond all of the things that we'll get this Christmas is we need more of God in our life. And God is speaking to us, and he's revealing himself to us. We need more of him in our lives. And we need to turn over more of our life to him. But he's also here in this reality of experiencing God. He is revealing his purposes. He's revealing what's on his heart. If we're interested in joining God in what he's doing, then we need to understand the purposes of God. We need to understand the things that God wants us to do. And listen, that's why we as a church, we have our vision statement. We worship our great God. That's what we gather together on Sunday mornings to do. We grow closer to Jesus Christ. That's our discipleship mandate. We want to be growing in our faith so that we're closer to him today than we were a month ago or a year ago. We serve God by serving others, that we understand that we are Jesus' hands and feet in our community and wherever we are serving God by serving others, and that we share the good news about Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we say to God, God, we want you to use us to share the good news with other people so that they know that you love them, so that they know that Jesus came and he lived a perfect life and he died on a cross. That is his purposes, and that's what God reveals to us. And listen, all of our four purposes, worship, grow, serve, and share, they come straight through the scripture. And that phrase was developed after much prayer. And through the church, he has given us those purposes to live by. And it also reveals, and this is the last part of this phrase, it reveals his ways. This reveals his plan. As he speaks to us, he reveals his plan. Listen, there is a certain way that we are to go about ministry and go about life. In ministry, there's a way that God operates. It's his ways. It's how he changes lives, how he works through us in the church. And God speaks to us, and it involves his ways. Where are the places we could join him in our community? What are the things that we can do? And so those are the third and fourth realities of experiencing God. We started with how God is at work around us. He's always at work. And that God pursues us with a continuing love relationship with us that is real and personal. And the way that we say yes to that is we trust Jesus in salvation. And then this morning, God invites us to be involved with him and his work. What an amazing thing to be involved in what God is doing. And then he speaks to us. He speaks to us through the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, through the Bible, through prayer, through circumstances, and the church to reveal three things: himself, his purposes, and his ways. And so, this is how we can experience God this Christmas. We have a choice to make as we live our lives, as it relates to these realities of experiencing God. We can continue to be about the little story about me, about each one of us. We can make the whole universe revolve around the little story of us, or we can exchange it for a role, not to be the whole story, but a role in the kingdom story about Jesus. That's the choice that each one of us make. Is it going to be about us, or is it going to be about him? Now, one of my favorite pastors, Louis Giglio, put it this way, and this is powerful. He writes, "Abandoning the tiny story of me and embracing the forever story of Jesus will allow our little lives to be filled with the wonder of God as we live for the unending applause of his name, and joining our small stories to his will give us what we all want most in life." And he continues to write, what we want most in life anyway, "the assurance that our brief moments on earth will count for something in the big story that never ends." That's a choice that we have to make. Do we let ourselves be the center of everything and our plan and our will, or do we say, God, you've invited me, you've spoken to me, and I want to take my place in the big story about Jesus? Listen, that your pastor wants to be in the big story about Jesus. I don't want to be in the little story about Sean Vickers. That's a little story, and years from now that'll pass away. But me being able to take a part of what God is doing and become part of that forever story that never ends, that's where I want to be. And that's where you experience God, is when you say, it's not about me, it's about him. I can join him. He's invited me. He's speaking to me, and he's guiding me this direction, and I'm saying yes. I am going to be about the big story about Jesus, not the little story about me. So we're going to have a time of invitation, and we are going to spend some time singing a couple songs. And this is also a time, if you have a public decision of any kind to make, you can come down. I'll be here at the front. There's plenty of room here at the front if you want to come down. And we are going to, we're just going to spend some time with Jesus as we sing these songs and we commit ourselves to him. And I want to challenge you to think about ways that you can say yes to his invitation and that you can hear him in what he's saying he wants you to do. And then exchange that little story of you to be a part of the big story about him. So would you please stand as we pray. Father, we thank you for these moments that we've had in your word. And Father, thank you for these realities of experiencing God. And thank you for how they are life-changing here at Christmas time. And Father, I pray that you would work in our lives. Father, we want to be a part of this great exchange, to exchange our little story about us, to be a part of the big story about your son, Jesus. So Father, would you work in our hearts? Would you work down deep in our lives where only you can touch and move? So Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.